Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. This is another happy hour. And let me say happy Resurrection Day to everyone that's out there. I tell you, we had a tremendous week this week with the George Floyd case going on. And plus, I got a chance to be on four different radio shows nationally. And I got a chance to talk about the Benton Harbor and the Benton Township Police Department. And I was telling people we had our own George Floyd incident here where a white cop for a little traffic stop went after a guy, ran him down, shot him with a taser twice, then got on top of him and started beating him. Fortunately, he injured the guy, the young man, and the cop broke his hand. And he gave him 30 days off with pay because he ran the guy down, hit the guy while he was down. He was tasered. He was dazed. And the white cop just kept beating him. Let me say this to everyone. That was the shameful incident that happens when a black guy runs into a white supremacist police officer, which I'm going to say this. I'm going to say that 98% of all white police officers in this country are racist and white supremacists. I'm going to say that. I can't say they all, but I will say at least 98%. But here's the bad part. The chief of police, his name is Dan McGinnis. You might know him. He actually said that it was all right for this white cop to hit this black guy after he had been tased. He said, according to the rule book, which I don't believe it, not for one second, that you can actually put your hands on someone who haven't put their hands on you. But he said he could hit him and get his attention. That didn't hit right with me, nor did it hit right with the people in Detroit when this young man went on the Bangalore Thompson show and told them pretty much the same thing, that it is okay for a police officer to hit someone who have not did anything to them. And the reason it's okay to hit them is that they can get his attention. I have never heard nothing that stupid before. And this is the same chief of police who they say was caught cheating on a test. He wasn't fired. He wasn't disciplined. He wasn't nothing. He was taking a test, I guess, for certification. I don't know exactly. I don't have all the information. But this is what was told to me by an elected official, that he was busted cheating on the test. I can see why. I can see why Benton Harbor police brought it got to be classified as the worst in the whole wide world. I don't think there's a police department that's worse. And I got to include township also, Benton Township. They're like 1A and 1B, you know, or one, you know, just one and 1A. That's how it is. And this is another thing that people need to know and understand. When I say defund the police, I mean it. A lot of people, well, we're talking about redirecting money to other areas. No, defund the police. This is the only city, well, I know of, that I deal with, that I'm actually saying defund the police because they're worthless. All they're doing is stealing money from the residents, you know. They might put a citation around people's place that they don't like. They might do that, you know. But as far as anything else, they're worthless. You can't call them. Because last week, I think I told you the incident where the black lady called because this white boy, father, had cut him up and pulled the gun on him. And then the police thought he was black. So they didn't want to come. You know, they, since he's black, we don't care. You know, so 45 minutes later, she calls back, and the lady, the first thing she said, is he black or white? How do you ask someone if the person needed help, black or white? And when she told him that the person was white, within the next 3-4 minutes, 2 squad cars like coming driving up with their siren on and jumping out the car and acting like this is a real live emergency. Oh, since he's white, you know, we need to get there because there's a problem. But if he's black, it's no problem. But this is the type of stuff that goes on here in the city of Benton Harbor, and the people accept it. But I came up with a solution. You know, several weeks ago, I said what I was going to do is get these guys trained. I want them to be trained in fire, and so they can carry their guns on their side. I'm going to get them licensed and have them. Well, we already got 10. My goal is to get 200 of the young guys. I want the young guys because I want the young guys to see things a little bit different. You know, I want them to start protecting the community because we don't have a police department. We don't have a police department. And also another campaign, we're going to start next week and also today. I want people to hit me up on my chat box or my phone or call me at 269-369-8257. And just say, should Chief McGinnis be fired? We want him fired. We also gonna start picking in Benton Harbor Police Department. I'm gonna have on different days. I don't want a whole lot of people because of this virus. But what I'd like to have, I'm gonna have different cities come in at different times and picket the Benton Harbor Police Department. And then we also going to picket the Benton Township Police Department, too. So we plan to be busy this summer until we get this thing under control. So my friends from Detroit, my friends from Flint, Kalamazoo and Battle Creek, Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti, Oak Park, all of us, we're going to have different times to come. I don't want, like I said, I don't want a whole lot of people. But I want every city to come in and let's picket this Benton Harbor Police Department and let's get rid of this Chief Dan McGinnis. Matter of fact, we got the votes right now to actually have him, to get rid of him. The votes is on the table. Matter of fact, I've been talking to people for the last 2-3 weeks about it, and it appears to me that they agree with me that this guy got to get out of here. Him and his police department is Lily White Police Department in a black city. When I say Lily White, I mean Lily White. Either when you talking about white folks, we got Deion Atkins. He's now a police officer at the Capitol. I would love for him to come in here and be the chief of police and get rid of this guy. You know, because Deion is a very very close friend. He used to do things with us and stuff like that, but he's a great guy. He's a Capitol Police. He was one of the heroes that they summoned, and I'd like to him to come and be the chief of police right here in the city of Benton Harbor, Michigan, and get rid of that Dan McGinnis. You see, he got to go, and we got to lose that title as the worst police department in the nation. We got to lose that title. And my thing right now, defund the police, and I mean defund them. I don't believe in bringing in no programs, redirecting the money. I believe exactly what I just said. Defund them. Take them, because what they're doing right now is stealing money from our community. That's all. They just come in to get a paycheck, put on the uniform, go sit in their car, go sleep, go eat, and that's what they do. But the people in Benton Harbor, they're the ones who don't get it. How do you get black folks moving to be answered? And anytime you sit down and think about really what's going on, you have to be concerned about what's happening around your community because it's crucial. But my goal is to train or get 200 black guys with their pistols on their side. If they can get licensed and they can put them on their side and walk around with their pistols, and I think that that's I think that's the route we need to take. But like I said, we got 10 in training. I got some guys from Lansing, Detroit, and Chicago who are willing to train these folks. And I had the chance to look at the program or be on the program while they was doing the training. I thought it was really, really exciting. And these guys, they loved it. You know, a lot of times you say, well, black people don't get interested in nothing. Well, these young boys, they was interested. They was ready to roll. It was just gigantic, you know. I'm all geeked up myself because I'm glad to see that they're interested in something. And when I mentioned to them that they can wear their guns on their side, you know, the guy said, oh, that sounds, oh, man. So this is where we at right now. So my goal is to have at least 200 of these brothers trained by September. We're moving fast, and we're making it happen. We got people from, and we're going to get other people to come in to help. We got matter of fact, the Green Party has offered to do some training themselves, hand-to-hand combat, different things like that, you know. And when it comes to hand-to-hand combat, I'm almost an expert at that. But things happen, so we got to be ready. We got to be willing. Just take a stand and do what we need. And anyway, let's talk a little bit about this George Floyd thing. Now that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. They said it's going to be up to the experts to decide. You got to be out of your mind. This man is a murderer, straight up. The only difference is he's white. If he was black, they wouldn't even have a trial. They have a rope and everything. They're trying to hang him. The only thing saving this guy, he's white. You know, there was also, I think, that incident in Minnesota where a black cop shot a white lady, and they gave him 15 years right off the top. Boom. I believe that was in Minnesota. Don't quote me on that one, but I do know that the black cop shot this white lady. She came to the car for some reason, and he shot her, and they gave him, as a matter of fact, they, the 15 years right off the top. The first thing came out the judge's mouth, 15 years, you know. And they even talking about hard labor for this guy. Wow. Amazing grace. But anyway, this guy, they know that this guy murdered. I mean, even them white cops, anytime you see white cops breaking away from another cop that much, see, sometimes they stand with them, like the one in Chicago when that guy shot that guy about 12 times in the middle of the street, talking about he feared for his life. Yeah, every day he feared for life when he go home and face his wife. That's when he feared for his life because he know he out here doing wrong. But we have to make sure that we do what we need to do. This thing is, and I believe this. You know, it's 14 jurors. It's going to be cut down to 12. It's going to be one white person on that jury. Who's going to refuse convict that white racist supremacist guy? It's going to be one. I'll be shocked if it's not. But I'm letting folks know right off the bat because I know how they stick together. Even when it's wrong, you know, for what Trump did, he didn't, you know, he just exposed the truth. White folks, you know, a lie don't mean nothing to them. You could even the one calls himself Christians, white Christians saying it's all right for him to lie. Every word coming out of his mouth is a lie. Was all right with them. You know, where did that come from? When is it okay to lie? Just outright lie. You know, what kind of world are we living in? You know, but we got to make sure our children understand, and we got to get them trained. Those of you who are out there, start getting our children trained, and then let's teach them how to use a handgun. If we teach them how to use a handgun, we won't have to worry about them doing these drive-by shootings and all this kind of stuff. Absolutely not, you know. So let's do what we need to do. Let's go take care of our business. Let's make sure we stand up for the right thing. And I think that's an ingenious idea. Because I think it neutralized these young boys who are out here shooting to be shooting. What we're going to do, we're going to train them how to use the gun. So just in case a war or something break out, we'll make sure that everyone know how to save their bullets and use them properly, because they're going to try to, that's one way that they're going to try to neutralize us with the bullets, because it's coming, whether we like it or not. But anyway, I'm going to end it by saying this. We got to pray for the family of George Floyd at this time, because I believe, and this is my honest opinion, there's going to be one on that jewel who's going to hold out. I believe that. There's going to be one person on that jury who's going to hold out. And on that note, I got to bring in my good friend from beautiful, beautiful California. Him and his wife is I just love this couple. They're outstanding. His character is above all. Just nothing like this guy, man. He's just a tremendous person, man. And to me, it's an honor and a privilege to know my good friend, Balak, Reverend Pinckney here. Talk to me.
How you doing, Reverend Pinckney?
Hey, I'm doing great, my brother. I'm doing great. Happy Resurrection Day to you, my brother. Hebrews don't celebrate that day, but it's Happy Resurrection Day. Anyway, talk to me about you.
I was going to tell you. The Hebrews, we celebrated ours like a week before. We go by, the moon and the seasons and all that kind of stuff. And so ours was actually a week ago, so we don't do Easter. But,
Well, in my eyesight, there's no such thing as Easter to me. That's those businessmen. That's how they suck money out of people, going out here selling Easter eggs and Easter egg candy and all this kind of stuff. That's what they do with that. So I'm just happy this week, Balak. I tell you, I got a chance to be on four. I like going on conservatives talk shows and talk with them, because I know that I have the truth on my side. That's the difference. When you got the truth on your side, you can talk to them, you see. Don't have the truth on your side, don't go in there and talk to them, because they'll come up with everything. They'll be calling you the N-word and everything else if they can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah. But let me, before we get into what you want to talk about today, I want to give me your take on that George Floyd situation, and then you can go into what you want to talk about.
Okay. Yeah, man. Everybody hoping that the right outcome of the situation. Our people for 400 years been trying to get justice in this place, and it just don't seem like we ever going to get it. Until the Messiah come back and restore us back to our rightful position. But these police officers, man, we got to realize that when they first created the police officers in America, they was made to be slave catchers. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I think they was called the patty rollers or something like that. So
yeah,
they was actually
Huh? Yep, the slave pack rolls or something. I think something like that. But
I can't remember everything. Yeah, I think it's patty rollers or something like that. But their job was to go around and catch, black people walking down the street. Where's your who's your master and all that, and trying to catch the one that was trying to run for freedom and all that kind of stuff. And as we can see to this day, that it's still designed for the same purpose, to keep the slaves in line. You know what I mean? And that's
why we
see so much injustice, for our people with the police. One of the big things you ever heard somebody say, why do y'all care about the police killing people when y'all kill people all the time? Right? So how would you answer that question, Pastor Pinckney?
Here's what way I would answer that. I would say, first of all, that we, you know, all these many, many years of what they have suggested us to, and it's just boiling over right now because black people feel other black people are the enemy. If you realize, mm-hmm. and then here's another thing that a lot of people don't know. You have black people being sellouts strictly because they think it's the right thing to do. But here's the part that get me. You know that these people are like this, and after these white folks don't want them no more, you accept them back in your community like they're heroes. Now, Malak, that's what gets me. And the way I would answer the question that you just said, this has been instilled us for so many years, and now it's all this frustration and hate is coming out in us. And the way we got to deal with it, we got to hit this thing off and nip it in the bud. That's the only way that we're gonna survive. And I wish today one of the reasons why I have set up this training for black people is that I want them to understand the power of the gun, because most black folks don't understand the power of the gun. You see, they don't see. I gave them the idea that you can wear your gun on your side. You don't have to hide it if you got the license. And I said you can do this. And these young guys, they're interested in this. So that's what I want to do. We got to change the policing, and we got to change the way black folks think, because we're so busy hating on each other. That's why it's so easy for us to kill each other, because we it's something about they got us hating us. They got us hating each other, and it's been instilled with us now, you see. And I think that's the problem. That's why it's so easy to do a drive-by killing. Last week I talked about this guy named Bowleg out of Chicago. He ran a hit ring. And when I say a hit ring, Malak, you can call him mm-hmm. up on the phone. You can call this guy up on the phone and say, "Well, I want my wife or my husband killed. How much will it cost?" And right over the phone, he would tell you.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and look,
that's crazy.
Half the people, and he had women as hit women, he had hit men, and he had FBI agents working right in with him, killing people. Killing people. And making money. This ring went on for over 5 years, this happened. This guy had his ring, had a secretary, someone who take the call, write the person name down, and they actually went out and killed the people.
Man.
But this is hatred we have within ourselves. You know, we wasn't like this before. You know, when we were growing up, you know, if you lived on a certain block, everybody was loving each other. You know, somebody gets sick, all the women would go to the house and clean up and cook for the person, and, you know, I grew up in a loving neighborhood. That was in Chicago. I grew up in a loving neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for how I would answer that question is basically, you know, if black people was killing black people, white people killing white people, you're going to always have crime. That's
mm-hmm.
you know, for me, crime is crime. But when we have taxpaying citizens that's actually paying these people to protect us and bring down the crime, and now you're committing crime, and then we can't get no justice for when you're breaking the law, murdering, you know what I'm saying? That's the difference, right? So if a black person did something to me, I can call the police, and then he going to go to jail, and he going to get, you know, sentenced for whatever he did. But now when you do it, and I pay you to protect me, right? And then nothing happens to you when you do it. That's when the outrage comes out. You know what I'm saying? So that's
absolutely
the difference.
Oh, man.
You know?
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's so many companies that come together that we support that we don't know about. They got a secret organization. I think it's called ALAC or something like that. But they come together. And they actually make laws to keep us in jail and prison, and they do everything to stop us. But it's the same companies that we support and they get all their money from us, right? So
absolutely.
These are like secret hidden things that these people go, they rent out like a hotel, and all the CEOs get together and they start voting on which law is going to affect us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's why I'm saying, like, we are so important to this earth, right? Without us really understanding, a lot of people don't understand how important we are. Even when we at the bottom, they still afraid of us. You know what I mean? Because they know one day we're going to rise up, and it's happening now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they're trying to do everything that they can to keep us down, because when we do rise up, there is no turning back. We're going to rise all the way up, and they're going to have to go down. So they use every inch of their power to make sure that they keep us in this cage, right? But we got to unlock that cage. So, like, Walmart, I think it's Target, all these big – I got to get the list, and I'm going to send it to you.
Lowe's.
But
it's you got,
so
you got,
many companies.
Pepsi-Cola. You got Pepsi-Cola. You got Delta Airlines, you got American Airlines, you got all these different places and all these different things, and they know exactly what they're doing. But you know, I mean, like I said earlier, you know, black folks, they think it's all right to be a sellout, because they know when the white folks don't want them no more, they're gonna be able to come back. They're gonna be able to come back and be like a hero in the community. They know that. And it's unfortunate when you sit down and think about it, but it's reality. See, we keep, because you black and you know somebody, you give them a free pass. See, I got to be honest with you. Once I know that you're a sellout, I can't be your friend no more. I don't even want you to call me no more. I don't want you to do nothing with me. I don't want, if it's an emergency, don't call me. I can't accept it, you know. And Lockwood, that's how, you know, you're supposed to be able to forgive. Yeah, I am gonna forgive, you know. But when the time around, I let God do the forgiving, you know. Cause once you destroy my people, hurt my people, you got a problem with me. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I will not. If I know you a sellout, you can't even come to my house. I don't want you around me. I don't want to be around you. And I think we have to have that mentality in order to deal with these people, because they think it's all right. They think, you know, a guy, oh yeah, he's driving a Cadillac or a Mercedes now, and he done destroyed our whole community. You know, they done paid him a couple of twos and threes underneath the table, and he done destroyed our whole community, Malak. And then we think he's all right now. What are we thinking?
But that's why it's important, man. Like, you know, people who really understand how this fight got to be fought by some strong people, man. We got to get our own council together. And we got to start planning on how we gonna strategize each move that we make, just like they do against us. You know what I'm saying? The advantage that they have over us, that they are all on one accord to bring us down, right? So we got to get on one accord to rise up. And so that just say, like, a lot of us that get pulled over by the police, that I ask my brothers all the time, because, you know, we in the streets talking to gang members and waking people up every day, right? So when one of our biggest questions is, how many times have you got stopped by the police? And they be like, man, I can't even count how many times police have put me over. I said, how many times have you went to a police station and filled out a form to make a complaint against them, right?
Right.
Never.
Right.
Right? And so if we ask ourselves that question, all these young black brothers that's out there, how many times you got pulled over by the police, but you never went to the police station to make a report? Now, when we make the actual report on these police officers, it goes into their records, right? So you have to be real careful when you go in there to make sure that they're going to actually file the report, because they'll just take your paper and throw it in the trash. So there's certain steps that you have to take to make that report. But the report is very important because if the dude is prejudiced, right, and he pulling you over because you're black, guess what he gonna do to the next person, the next person, the next person. But if
Absolutely.
You put that report in, and then I put the report in, and then somebody else put the report in, then when they come up for his review, they're like, hey, man, this dude right here, he didn't got like 5 reports against him being racist, so we're going to have to put him under review. His job is on the line. But we not
Absolutely.
Doing that.
You,
and all of these racist
Malak,
white people, huh?
But, Malak, you got to remember this. Black people, that's too much. See, you're telling them to do something. That's what you call action, putting stuff in action. You know, if they thought for a moment that you was going to write a complaint on them, a lot of times they will stop this. But most times black people they're too busy. Black people are the busiest people in the whole wide world. They always got something to do. You can call right now, call one of your friends up now. What you doing? Oh, I'm busy, man. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I got to watch my TV program. They always got something to do. So we got to start encouraging them to make these complaints. If we don't start encouraging them and stop all this talking about I'm too busy. Even the girl, I talked about this girl when she called the police to help for this white guy. And I told her to go down to the police station to make a complaint. That girl ain't went down there yet and made no complaint. So, oh, I ain't going to be messing with them. They ain't going to do nothing. So what if they don't do nothing? At least you got a paper trail. Absolutely.
Exactly. That's the most important thing is to have that paper trail, you know, and then it's other steps that we take too that, you know, that we haven't, we just now learning a lot of this stuff. Remember the lawyer that I brought on the call with you guys not too long ago, he's been really like giving us like step-by-step things that we can do. And so we got to learn who to put the pressure on. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I know you know that too, Pastor Pinkney, because
yeah.
you showed me a lot of that myself. Like, if the police is not acting right, we go to the chief of police and we put pressure on him. He's going to lose his job if he don't get his cops in line. And so that's
mm-hmm.
where we got to understand where our power is. And then if we can't get to him, we go, I think it's to the senator or this or that or the mayor. Or we just keep going up. You know what I'm saying? And we just keep putting pressure on all these different positions because if they not doing their job, let's get them out of there. You know what I'm saying? And this is the power of the people. This is where we have the power at. And so if they know that we're going to put that pressure on them, they know that Pastor Pinkney going to be out there doing court watching to make sure y'all treating our people right. If they know all of these things, they're going to hesitate on coming against you because they don't want to lose their job.
Mm-hmm.
But we never put their job on the line. You know what I'm saying? We let
yeah.
them shoot us, and then the police officer get called. They send him home with pay. He get off, and then we don't do nothing to the chief of police or the senator or what's the person that really let him go? That's the I'm trying to think of the dude's name. The one who really be letting the people go. I think he's the attorney general
yeah,
or something
yeah,
like
that. The attorney general, right? The attorney general or the chief prosecutor. Like here in Benton Harbor, we had like a chief. He's the chief prosecutor. That's what we call him here. And also the attorney general is the state person. And you absolutely correct. It's the state person that actually take them off the hook because they usually turn it over to him, and they always say no foul play or justifiable
exactly.
homicide. These are words that they use. A lot of those words are not even in black folks' vocabulary when you talk about justifiable homicide and no foul play, all this kind of stuff, which doesn't make any sense. And you watch it, but I tell y'all better watch this case a little close though. I know white folks. White folks, they will protect each other at all costs. And black folks, you gotta watch them too because they want to be just like them so bad that they'll do anything too just to be like them. You know,
exactly.
And go around
exactly.
like our mayor here. He went around talking about he could be mayor of St. Joe's, Michigan, one of the most racist communities in the whole nation. He told me he could be. They like him. They don't like him. But he's too stupid to understand that they don't. They just use you to keep these black folks in line.
Yeah, so we've been putting pressure on the black police officers that we meet out here because I feel like that's the worst thing in the world to know that you know that it's other police officers out there treating your people bad and you're a part of it and you're not saying anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, you already know who the bad apples are and you're scared to say something when you're actually put in this position to fight for us on a higher level because you're a part of the department too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if you sit there and you just sit and you just watch, we ask them, we say, is there racist police officers in your thing? And they be like, yeah. Like, so what are you doing about it? You just letting them be out there? You know what I'm saying? Like, did you go tell the police chief that you think this dude should be off the street? And because you scared too.
I'm saying 98% of the police officers. I can talk about Benton Harbor. I would say 98% of the people, the police officers in Benton Harbor, that's white, are white supremacists and racists, and township. I can say that and be truthful because they are. They're none but one of the guys told me, he won. How come you ain't put me on your T-shirt? I wouldn't waste my time putting your slimy butt on my T-shirt. Now, yeah, I said, you know, you get something else. You don't worry about being on my T-shirt, mister, you know. And this is what...
Exactly.
Yeah, those slimy people. I mean, they're nothing but a group of slime balls, but yet we accept them. And then black folks let it happen. Like McGinnis, the chief of police, tell me it's all right to hit somebody when they're down after you've tased them two times. That it's okay. Because if you hit them, you're trying to get their attention. I said, man, you better shut up talking, man. That's why I'm putting on a campaign to get him fired. I want him out.
Yeah, we've been putting in so much work out here where we at. You know, the chief of police, everybody know about us because they actually come out. And when I went up there to go talk to them, they actually already knew who I was. And they was like, yeah, man, we heard you guys been doing a lot of good stuff in the community and all this, and you guys have any issues, they would help us and all that. But we not really focused on that. What we're focused on is them doing the right thing when the time comes. You know what I'm saying? We focused on y'all not just taking advantage of our people because it's a scary situation to get pulled over by the police. It's always been that way. I grew up in Compton, so I mean, they had these, police officers when I was younger. They was called the Chain Gang or something. They had a little name for them, but they would hog tie you and beat you to death with them billy clubs right in front of your parents, and it was nothing you could do. It was like real bad, like back in the day. They was raping girls, just doing everything, man. So when Rodney King had got his stuff on tape, we was happy because we was like, man, we finally got it on tape. They finally going to do something about it. And then when they didn't do nothing about it, you know, that's why L.A. just went all the way crazy. Like, that was a big riot that we was a part of. And, me being there firsthand, it's the reason why it happened is because it was so it was so crazy back then that like, they could do anything they wanted to do to you, and it was nothing you can do. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I mean, they beat you, rape you, kill you, take you. If you were a gangbanger or they thought you was a gangbanger, they would go drop you off into somebody else's neighborhood and just leave there. And it was bad, man. It was bad.
Wow, and that's why I was talking, you know, that Rodney King incident where they caught that on tape, and they did. And look, they actually found them not guilty. No hung jury, not guilty. And this is what I'm telling people. See, to them, for them to even to kill a black man don't mean nothing to these white folks. You know.
The reason why it don't mean anything, this is what we got to understand. We still calling ourselves nothing. in the Constitution, we ain't even a real person. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
They could just pull that. Like, we didn't kill a real man. That ain't a real man we killed. We want to be free from that. According
That's
to the
right.
Constitution, he's not even a human. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this is why we, as a people, we gotta change our. We can't let them put us in a box no more. We have to elevate ourselves, educate ourselves to get in the rightful positions that we're supposed to be in. We got to know what we call ourselves, what to write on pieces of paper, how to make a stand, when to back down, when to speak up. We got to know all these things. These are classes that we got to get going to educate our people. We have to.
Yeah.
And we have to have our own council. And we have to have our own council where we can go around and we can make decisions on what our people are going to do and how we're going to do it instead of them making decisions for us. And that's the problem that we've been having. Everybody is making decisions for us, and it's not the best decision for us. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And here's another thing that goes on. All the jobs, even the jobs on the highway, these non-skilled jobs, white folks got them all, the non-skilled jobs, everything. And then look, and what they do, they tell their family members, friends, that there's a job opening, go get that job. Black folks is not in a position to tell people that there's a job because they don't have that job. And if it's a job opening, they don't let black folks know that. So just look, they talk about this stimulus money, $1.9 trillion. Look, 99.5% is going to be under the control of white folks. Black folks ain't going to be under control of nothing. And if they are, they're going to be scrutinized. They're going to send the feds in. They're going to do everything they can to make sure that we teach you not to play with our money, not to ask for this money. But we don't see these. Now, this is important, Malak. This is important because money is the way to really help our community and our children and our children's children. It's what you call a trickle down effect, and that's why nothing ever trickled down to us because they're in control of all the money, and most time they steal all the money. They steal it, and nothing is said. You go steal a dollar, and they ready to put you in prison.
Man.
So we right there. See, people don't understand how important is these. We got to put people in position so they can be in position, and that's what, another thing where we have failed. That's why I want people to be carpenters and stuff, and then know how to do the things that need to be done in order to make us successful. Right now, we got a long way to go.
Yeah, one of our next biggest missions that we're going to have to conquer, and I'm glad I'm able to tell y'all this, but we'll go more in detail with it when we get, when you have me back on the show. I'm going to actually show y'all what's in it. But do not take the vaccines. These vaccines are designed to destroy us. It's made specifically to kill the so-called Negroes in America. And I'm going to show y'all what's actually in the vaccine when Pastor Pinckney had me back on the show. We're going to read every ingredient that's on there and tell you what it is. They put these big old words in there so you'll get thrown off. But when you look the word up, you ain't going to believe what they putting in your arm. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people has been dying from it, and they not televising it as much as they, was televising the COVID-19, right? So people dying all the time. We know people who took the vaccine and died 2 days later. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So it's like, do not take the vaccine. When they start getting everybody vaccinated, it ain't going to never stop. It's another virus going to come out, and then they're going to say you got to get vaccinated again and vaccinated again and vaccinated again.
Right,
they
and
have,
it's every 6 months.
Not,
it only lasts 6 months.
See, there we go. I didn't even know.
Right.
That
it only lasts 6 months.
See, there you go.
Wow.
And they, man,
yeah.
I'm telling you,
Well, look,
this is an attack, huh?
Well, here's what I'm going to do. Not next Sunday, but the following Sunday. I think it's the 18th. I want you to come back, and I'm going to give you the whole show to explain that to people.
All right, we will.
Right on. But look, you got 2 minutes to close it out. Then I got to bring in my good friend Marcina. Then I got to go to Belinda Parker Brown. But let's take 2 minutes and tell us what you want us to know. And don't forget, stop publicizing that you're going to be on the show on, I believe it's the 18th. It's the 18th of April.
All right. That's what we're going to do. All right. Well, I would just like to thank Pastor Pinckney once again for all his hard work and effort that he put in for the people. It's an honor to, you know, be on the show and sharing information and be around like-minded people that's willing and ready to actually stand up for our people. We have to start getting on higher levels of education. We have to get on higher levels of understanding and movement to make this all come around and do what we needed to do for our people. This is not, like, right now we fighting for the children, right? Because if we don't do something now, we ain't going to have no children. And I'm going to tell you that right now, like, the way that this world is going, we are the endangered species in America. Straight up. They are trying to take us all the way out. We're getting killed on every side. We're getting killed by the police. We're getting kidnapped. We're getting murdered. We're getting vaccinated. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So right now is the time to pull more into the Most High. Know that you are one of the chosen people of God and live your life in it. So I would like to thank Pastor Pinckney. I'll be back on the show with more information about this vaccine. Do not take that vaccine.
All right. And that's all right. On. You'll be back April the 18th, not next Sunday, but the following Sunday. And you're going to give us a little knowledge so we'll understand exactly where we at. So listen, I got to let you go, but hey, really appreciate you, my brother. Let's talk soon.
That's right. Shalom.
All right. My man. Hey, listen, those of you who are out there, also, I want everybody to look up Dan McGinnis. He's the chief of police here in the city of Benton Harbor, Michigan. And we need to vote. Well, we want him fired. We plan on picking in the police station. We're going to have people coming from on different days, Kalamazoo, Battle Creek, Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti, Detroit, Flint, Michigan, and Chicago, and we're going to be picking the Benton Police Department because we want to defund them. When I mean defund them, I mean exactly that. I don't mean none of that. You want to redirect the fund. No, I want to defund them. But on that note, let me bring in my good friend, the one and only Marcina Cole from beautiful Detroit, Michigan. Talk to me, Marcina Cole.
How you doing, Reverend Pinckney?
Man, girl, I'm doing great. I'm just rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking.
I hear you. It's a whole lot going on. We get only just pushing in just a little bit of information at a time. I'm just going to share briefly about the voter suppression that's going on. It's been going on for years. 19th century, you know, we over here in 21st century, we still dealing with it, especially in the state of Georgia. Was real upset with the two Democratic senators, Reverend Warnock and Joe Armstrong, their senator. So, and then, of course, you know, the former, their president, Trump, last year was saying that the election was stolen. He was calling a lot of riffraff and, you know, occupying January 6th Capitol and all those other insurgents. So we go on with this on that premise. You got these various Republican state legislators across the country saying that there's voter fraud, and it was proven by the court that it was not voter fraud. So in the meantime, they want to take black people's vote away. They want to take it away. So they're strategizing right in Georgia. They have made a law basically taking the right of people of color, Hispanic folks, That's what they're doing right now, and we have other states as well. So we got over 361 bills introduced in 47 states across the country to suppress the vote. Georgia, and I said last week, for those who didn't hear it last week, basically they're saying, which to me is illegal, to say that they cannot, nobody can give water to all those people, all those black folks lined up to cast their vote. They cannot, nobody can give them water. It would be a crime, or give them snacks, food. It's unheard of. And then basically purging votes, particularly the young folks. So any kind of way to suppress the vote, so they cannot, the Republicans at this time, their way. So they want to illegally snatch our, you know, our exercise, our vote away. You know, they had the dogs, they lynched and everything else, you know, in the 60s. So now they want to continue to have us go backward. It's very important because we're fighting for health care. We're fighting for housing, jobs, environment, a lot of issues that the Republicans aren't for. They're for corporate only. They're not for the people. So this is going on across the country, in Iowa, Arkansas, Utah, Arizona, and it's going to be more and more bills introduced. Now, over 361 bills are being introduced. That's a lot. It's going to keep on coming because they're looking in terms of the governor's ship 2022. So they definitely want to have a Republican here in the state of Michigan. And so we're dealing with white supremacy with these white extremist Republicans that do not want us to have a voice. And so we got to work on that because we do not, we want to de-escalate the restricting of votes, not escalating it. And on that, moving forward in the filibuster, we want to end the filibuster so we can get the bills that the new president wants for us, for the people. So it's a fight continue. We don't want to take us back when Strong Thurmond in 1957, he had a filibuster against the Civil Rights Act. And he spoke for over 24 hours to go against that. So this is what they want to do. They don't want us to go forward. They want us to go backwards when it comes down to our vote, right? So we all got to come together on that. There's so many things we need to be fighting for, you know, against police brutality, dealing with the COVID-19. We're fighting for our lives with that. And I just want to say quickly that in the state of Michigan, we have the highest number of cases in coronavirus of all the cases in the United States. That's really bad. And I'll tell you why that's happening. It's real quick. It's the fact that they opened up the restaurants, you know, at over half capacity or more. Sports games, contact sports, movie theaters, gyms, all that and above. You see more people not wearing masks. A lot of people didn't get a vaccination, but nevertheless, even being vaccine, you know, a person being vaccinated doesn't mean that they can't get the COVID-19 virus. So it's a lot of misinformation out there. There's been a higher surge with coronavirus, hospitalization with the younger group of people, over 30 to 39, 633% hospitalization. And we're talking about recently, 800% with adults 40 to 49. So this is what's going on here in the state of Michigan. They still got over 683,000 cases of the coronavirus, and then over 16,000 deaths. And so we're dealing with that and over 14,000 positive. So we have all this information, and sometimes the information is not all that accurate. It could be more. We know it's more. So there's something we're doing wrong. And it's all about, it should be all about saving lives, because this is a global pandemic and not just the United States. And I just want to touch, you know, Reverend Pinkney, I'm moving for, got this information for a few days ago. You remember the event that we had last year in response to the 16-year-old Cornelius Fregner?
Cornelius,
that
right.
Was, restrained. Because when it was out there in May, first week of May, about Cornelius Fregner, it didn't really hit the news wave. I didn't find out till after the fact. But once I found out, I said, I asked some of my activist friends, including you, let's do something with this. Let's organize and have a demonstration where Cornelius Frederick, 16 years age, was in a residential facility, supposedly that he had behavior problems in a foster care type facility. And unfortunately, April 29th, he was murdered by the staff there. So I talked with you about the date, and I wanted to, you know, you had some other things going on. And so I think I picked the date. I think it was June 20th, somewhere around that June. You remember you called that, Reverend Pinkney? Nevertheless,
yes.
We had Jackie Miller, my hat's off to her. She worked diligently. We got the information out there across the country in various news outlets. They were calling me, calling other folks that wanted to speak to some of the guest speakers that I had. Reverend Pinkney, you were on MSNBC. They showed a picture of you, and you might not have saw it, but I saw you with a sign or something that it landed on the main news media. And they're going to be on tonight and talking about this case Eastern time at 10 o'clock tonight. Someone told me 8, but I saw it on the Internet, 10 o'clock Eastern time. You just confirm that time and look at it. It's going to go into the details where someone had came forward that actually worked at that facility, and there was an article written some days ago. So it's going to be more information about this case and about other cases as well with this young kid that unfortunately had died, and that was not the first time they had restrained him. You got over 7 people gained on a kid because they claimed that he threw a sandwich at someone. So they took his life away, you know, asphyxiated him, but he could not breathe, just like George Floyd. You know, and then 2 days later, in intensive care, he was not here anymore. It's senseless, and it goes around across the country. That's why we named it Save the Youth, Justice for Cornelius. I want to get with some other folks to work with us and have events. I did have some obstruction by a group, MI Liberation, a person who represented them in Kalamazoo, tried to take over. It makes no sense. It's about saving children's lives. It's not about who gets what credit. We did what we had to do, and we had gotten news coverage all the way from California. I had gotten a call from a main news media source, and I gave them numbers of the speakers that I had, and they end up actually was on television, and they did a segment about those 2 speakers that I had engaged. That they were one was an employee at one time, a facility where Cornelius was prior to Lakeside Academy, and the other person had a grandson at that location. And make a long story, back in July last year, I had a little demonstration for her about her relative who attempted suicide in another facility. So this stuff goes on and on and on. We must continue to fight against SQL owned various foster care homes, residential, whatever you want to call it, across the country. And some of those people some of those children came from California, Washington State, or whatever. They came from various states and came to Lakeside. So they had these residential facilities all over the country and making millions of dollars, and the state was involved with it too, the state of Michigan. Social
Absolutely.
Service, you know, so we had to put the blame on many folks. And then you got relatives that don't want the kid and throw them in this these licensed, called licensed facilities, which those
mm-hmm.
restraints should have never had occurred at period. To restrain a child at all. When you restrain somebody, you're cutting off their breath. That's an assault. That's a physical assault that they've done to the children. And they do sexual assaults, too, in many of these facilities. So I wanted to touch on that. So I touched on a lot of stuff real quick, because I know you have Parker on there. So we just have to vigilantly support the children, the migrant children, the children that have, you know, they don't have a say-so. They don't have parents to speak when they behalf. So we have to be the voice for them to say somebody's life. Cornelius is not here today, but he made an impact across this country and across the world. Enough is enough. Save the children. Justice for Cornelius.
Amen. Amen. All right. You're absolutely right, Cornelius. He did not deserve to die. But listen, I got to let you go. I got to bring in my good friend, Belinda Parker Brown. And listen, you hang in there. I'm going to try to watch that program tonight. And let me bring in the one and only Belinda Parker Brown from Slidell, Louisiana. Talk to me, Belinda.
Hey, Pastor Pinckney. Hey, hey, hey. You know, I'm really enjoying the show. It feels as though that, you know, it's just a talk, a conversation that's very necessary, that we just have to talk sometime and talk this stuff through. And I was listening to my Hebrew brother and my sister out there in Detroit. It sounds as though that, you know, she don't let up. You know, she's constantly on the front line. And just to hear your voice on a beautiful day, on Resurrection Day, you know, we don't celebrate these pagan holidays, Pastor Pinckney. You know, you know, and I was just thinking about how you are a drum major for justice, you know, that you are still, you know, on the front line for the people. And I think about, you know, people that have given their life and sacrificed so much. You know, Dr. King's birthday was just a few days ago, and to hear, you know, his statement from his daughter that was 5 years old at the time when he was assassinated, you know, just to hear her say that, you know, her father gave his life, you know, fighting for the people, speaking truth to power, you know, standing strong against, you know, racial unlawful discrimination against a people that did not have a voice. You know, it just really encouraged me to stay in the fight, and it inspires me to know that it's people like you that's still out there that have been my role model, my inspiration, and, you know, drum major for justice. So I just really appreciate this conversation. You know, it's a lot going on, Pastor Pinckney. I was listening to some of the things that you were saying about the police department, and, you know, everybody community is different, and I agree with you 100% that, you know, it may not be in every state that they need to defund the police, but it's definitely in Benton Harbor, Michigan. The police have abused and misused their powers. They have abused the taxpayers' money. Like you say, they sit back and they get, you know, puffed up on, you know, ego and donuts and, you know, like you say, eating and sleeping and doing whatever else they want to do on the taxpayers' back. And that is wrong. And I know without a doubt that you can definitely prove with all the facts there in Benton Harbor that the police department, they're not doing their job. So, yeah, defund them, you know, save the taxpayers' money and get the burden off the taxpayers and, you know, so that they don't have to go around manufacturing, you know, crimes and stuff against people just so that they can get a paycheck.
Hey, Belinda, before you go on, you know Dan McGinnis personally, don't you, the chief of police here?
Oh, absolutely. He's a crook.
Yeah, and it's shameful. The point is we do have the votes now to have him removed. But the point is they're going to wait it out. But I'm going to keep applying that pressure to them to make sure that we get rid of his butt right away, because he's one of the main problems here in the city of Benton Harbor, along with the township too. You know, I can't forgive township because they just as bad. But the point is, this guy he went on like he was going to really help the community. You know, we got rid of Mingo and brought this guy in, and this guy we thought for sure that he would be different. But unfortunately, every time we bring black folks in, they do the same thing. It's the same thing, the same attitude. You see?
Right, but what I'm finding out is that a lot of these people, you know, they use black people that they didn't handpicked and paid to represent us that's not for us. And they're just a smokescreen. That's all they are. But it's the puppets behind the puppet behind the scene that's pulling the strings. And that's what we have learned here, and especially in the state of Louisiana, Pastor Pinckney, that, you know, they put these black people in, like you say, the Mercedes-Benz and the million-dollar homes and whatnot, and they have really sold us out. And we know them. You know, we know that this is a fact, that they're just a smokescreen, because we have found out that it's, you know, it's some powerful people behind the scene that's pulling the strings. And they have to jump when they say jump, and they have to say ha-ha, and they have to do whatever they say do. If not, then they won't get their, you know, million-dollar homes and Mercedes-Benz to front and, you know, and pretend. So that's the thing. So, you know, and that's what's heavy on my heart. And I was listening to the conversation, even with, you know, my Hebrew brothers out there in California, that, you know, it's you know, we have to really – and I'm hoping that everybody is listening, because, you know, it's, you know, you used to sing this and all the time, Pastor Pinckney, about how important it is for, you know, us as a people to unite and come together, that the power is with the people, that, you know, it's only when they see us united on a strong, united front, that they will give us the respect that is due. You know, one of the things that you said, that they would lie, and they would do whatever they can, the white people would do everything they can to protect their white lie. You know, I remember in your trial that Tat Parrish was your attorney, and he told this story. I don't know if you remember this story. It was about it was the buck naked truth. You know, how can you tell the difference between a lie and the truth? And he spelled that out, Pastor Pinckney. I wish someday you can tell that story or get him on so he can tell it. Is he still living, that attorney, Tat Parrish?
Oh, yeah, and he's still working, too. He's 70-something
Okay,
now.
Well, you need to get him on the show so he can tell that story about the buck naked truth, because the people need to hear that. You know, how can you tell the truth from the lie? Because the lie is dressed up in the truth, laced with the truth. The lie is, I mean, got diamonds and flashing lights, and everybody is drawn to the lie. So, but I want to say this, Pastor Pinckney, because I know, you know, we just having a talk, but I know how dear this is to you, and I know where we need to go with this. We're in 2021, Pastor Pinckney, and you've been at this for quite some time, you know, and we intend to win this fight. We are winning, especially here in Louisiana. We're winning, and that's what we're calling on right now, is that it come a time when we have to be, you know, focus. and you used to talk about this all the time, how we have to focus on what it is we need to do as a people. And I hear you announcing the movement to rally, you know, against the police department, and I do hope to be there standing with you. I'm going to get some more information and make sure I can get it on my schedule in time. But I've been talking across, you know, we've been Zooming and meeting and on, you know, different shows and stuff, and people have been talking about the People's United Front, the Black Is Back Coalition, you know, all the grassroots organization, you know, Banco, you know, we're all out there. There's so many of us. You know, what is it that we need to do now to really prove and show the world, prove to the world and show them that we're not going to align ourselves with these national known organizations that's been around here for 100 years that have sold us out? And the reason why I say that, Pastor Pinckney, is because we are still in the struggle, suffering the same state and conditions that we have been in for centuries, okay? And it's time out. And what we're saying, game over. We're not going to tolerate this foolishness anymore. So, you know, we need to come up with an initiative, a plan, as grassroots organizations, Marcellus out there in Detroit and many others, you know, organizations that you have named on your show several times, that to develop a comprehensive plan, Pastor Pinckney, that can result to a nationally, united front that would we can actually have a campaign, a summit, a worldwide summit or a nationwide summit that can bring us all together and unite us. And this is where I'm at with this, because here in the state of Louisiana, when we say we need to target something, you know, most people don't even want to join up with your organization, because if you don't tell them what you're going to do for them and how you're going to get them, you know, relief from whatever it is they're going through, because they whining and crying and they want to say, you know, they doing this to me and they doing that to me and what about me? You know, that attitude have really hindered the movement. Because people are selfish. All they think about is me, myself, and I. What you going to do for me? How you going to fix my problem? Okay? And that's been hurting us, Pastor Pinckney. That's what's been keeping us, you know, in this dilemma, you know, waiting on, you know, justice and liberation and restoration for everybody. So we got to get people out of that stupor. We got to get them from, you know, just being locked and on their own selfish need. And we need to have a national summit that can bring us all together to put the pressure on the powers that be. And it's not that many. But put the pressure on them to let them know we as black people in America, we're not going to tolerate this no more, no matter what it comes down to. And we can name all the things that Marcella just named, how they raping our kids, beating our kids, mass incarceration, homeless, everything that we're going through right now, police brutality, putting their knee and their foot on our neck, all of this stuff that they're doing, housing crisis, everything. Okay, so what we need to do is get our focus. And what I'm saying is here in Louisiana, slavery is alive and well. When it comes to people being held hostage, kidnapped, and put in these hellhole prisons and jails, and they are slaves, I'm telling you. We didn't call them with their drawers down. Louisiana has been caught, and there's nothing they can do about it. The highest court in the land, the United States Supreme Court, ruled what they did here was unconstitutional, if not criminal, what they did, to put people in prison, give them 25 years to life on a manufactured, made-up, concocted, fabricated charge just so that they can make them a slave.
Wow.
So what I'm saying, now that the whole world was watching Louisiana doing Katrina and how bad the people was treated here, everybody around the world saw it. Now we was known as having more people incarcerated per capita than anywhere else in the world. Now we got the deadly coronavirus. We was the first that came out and made national news about the people was dying here like flies because they wanted to have the Mardi Gras. The Mardi Gras. You know what the Mardi Gras is, Pastor Pinckney. You've been down here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody coming from all over the country, the whole world coming to Louisiana, New Orleans for festivities. Mardi Gras, backyard barbecues, everything going on. The French Quarter, Bourbon Street. And they knew the coronavirus was festing. So
absolutely.
We had 19 of the Zulu, which is one of the number one floats that everybody from around the world come to see. 19 of those people died from the coronavirus. So what I'm saying is that Louisiana is first in this curse. We're the number one state out of all 50 states right now that's winning. And we want the world to come and stand with us and have a national summit here in the state of Louisiana and shut down the Mardi Gras, shut down everything. Shut it down.
Absolutely.
And so that we can call for freedom and liberation and reparation for the thousands of people that are being held hostage.
Amen.
That are being kidnapped.
Absolutely. Belinda, our time is up.
And Pastor
and,
Victor is one of them.
Yes, he is. Why don't you come on next week and let's talk about Pastor Victor a little bit. And before I sign off, what I'm doing now, I'm having people to vote. I want them to look up McGinnis on the Dan McGinnis, the chief of police of Benton Harbor. Look him up. And I want everybody to be voting. Yes or no, should he be terminated for some of the things that he's doing? And also, we also want to define. When I say define, I mean define. I don't mean with these different programs. I mean actually tearing it down, because I think now we're going to do something different, and we're training kids right now. I want to get 200 kids to be able to have license to carry their own pistol. And also so they can be more conscious of what a gun can do. That's my plan. Listen, Belinda,
Do you have information on that you can email me, Pastor Pinckney, because
I got
a lot of students and that would be interested, you know, former students and, you know, family and stuff down there that we need to get the word out. And if you send it to me in an email, I can get it, you know, in all of my social media to share, because I think that is an excellent idea. We definitely need to do that. So please send me the information.
All right, we'll do it, and I'll have it to you by first thing Tuesday morning. In the meantime, I got to go. We'll talk soon. God bless you. God keep you. And, hey, happy Resurrection Day.
All right. Same to you, Pastor Pinckney. We love you and Dorothy. Bye-bye.
All right now.